Support for the Players, the Pop Culture as PlayStation podcast, is brought to you by Manscaped, the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped recently launched the ultimate men's hygiene bundle, the Performance Package. Join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code FTP at au.manscaped.com. If my math is correct, and it might just be, that's about 8 million balls. For the Players, the Pop Culturist PlayStation podcast is fueled by The Man Shake. I lost 30 kilos in 10 months using this meal replacement shake. If you want to support the show and Max in my weight loss journey, or to even start your own, click the link in the description below. The Man Shake. Real blokes, real results.
For the Players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For the Players, the Pop Culturist PlayStation podcast. Over 40 years of playing PlayStation, near on 10 years, that games media combined. I want to thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, come and check out our socials. Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and Twitter, all of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join us as the conversation happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopcultures, where you can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you are listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you are on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopculturist, as well as our merchandise store, of course, .com/shop, where you can buy shirts and other assorted shit with our logos on it. Or you can help support the brands that support us, just like Manscaped. Head over to au.manscaped.com, use the promo code FTP, get yourself 20% off, and free worldwide shipping. Max. Hey, man.
Hey, man.
How's it going?
Oh, yeah, not too bad, not too bad.
How's the things? How's the week been?
Been a pretty well, but the weekdays were fine, you know, pretty crazy. Mm-hmm. The weekend, however, has been, you know, really busy.
Well, because you were saying before we started recording, you just spent pretty much all of your Saturday gallivanting across the state.
Yeah, so I spent Saturday helping my sister move out of her apartment up in Melbourne. So that was a full day excursion. Today had some friends over, played some Harry Potter Cluedo that I won. So
what makes winning. Is there any difference that it's like in Harry Potter locales?
Yeah, pretty much. There's some gimmicky stuff. Like I think in the proper Cluedo, you can use the underground passages to go from corner to corner.
Mm-hmm.
I think in Harry Potter, there's fireplaces in every single room, and you can use flu powder to just teleport around the board.
Oh, cool. I thought they were going to make you use the map. Yeah.
As you roll the dice as well, doors, owing to the magics of the world, doors just randomly open and close, so you can get into some rooms and not in others and whatnot, which is difficult at times.
Well, adding to the mysticism of it all.
That's cool. Sweet. And then shortly before this podcast recording, I recorded another podcast, and that was awesome.
Keep an eye out on the interwebs for those one a bit later.
And then just after I finished that one, I got a phone call from a friend saying, hey, my tire exploded on my bike and I'm stuck on the freeway. It's storming. Can you come save me? So I just quickly ducked out to save him. And, you know, now I'm here doing it. It's been an action-packed weekend.
That is very much a weekend. I myself have, especially compared to last weekend, when I talked about the wrestling coming to town and running out and standing out.
And I went to Nitro Circus on Monday.
Oh, yeah. You finally went after because yours got wrecked by the Foo Fighters. So for those who don't know, as we talked about last week, so the Foo Fighters came to Geelong to sort of, as part of a one-off show, to help reinvigorate tourism in the rural areas or whatever. And yeah, but they also double booked themselves because they were meant to have a Nitro Circus on the Friday, and they didn't tell anyone until the week before. And went, oh yeah, you know how the Foo Fighters are doing at the exact same time? We're just going to move it to Monday. Is that cool? Yeah, cool, cool. Everyone cool? Yeah, sweet, done.
It was a little bit disappointing because obviously normally they have about 30 odd athletes come out. There was
athletes. That's
maybe 15.
Yeah,
it's a very, very small number. But the local, all the people that tour that are from local, they put on a good show. Geelong's own Matt Wyatt, formerly of I think it was Married at First Sight or The Bachelor or some ridiculous some ridiculous reality TV series. He's fresh off that, so he's back on his BMX doing what he does best.
Nice.
Saw some mad stacks.
Oh, well, that's where you go.
Someone threw a double backflip on a motorbike and fell off the back of it. That was intense.
See, this is why I don't.
A guy in his wheelchair rolled down the 50-foot ramp, did a front flip. That was rad.
Yeah, well, what's the worst going to happen for him? He's going to get more in his wheelchair. Like he's covered.
I mean, he's the dude's brilliant.
Yeah, like, I think absolutely
brilliant.
I did go on Nitro Circus show a number of years ago, and there was a dude in a chair, and he fucking smashed it.
Turns out my favorite person there, Chris Haffey. This is his retirement tour. Like,
were you like weeping in the crowd? Like, no.
He's a rollerblader. I'm like, I have my skates in the car. If I can like hunt him down for an autograph, so he can autograph my skates, that'd be rad. I couldn't.
You nerd. See, this is a thing. Like, but you and I like different extreme sports, if you want to put it that way.
I just like people doing flips on motorized objects. You like people doing flips
onto each other. But yeah, no wrestling this weekend for me. Off the back,
used to say week. Whose is worst.
Look, they're both equally weird, and that's what counts. Yes, there was a wrestling show on this weekend in the cities, but I didn't go to it. Instead, I took my son to the zoo. So he's 5, and he had never been to the zoo before. So I was like, well, you know, we always wanted to go, and the pandemic put a really big spanner in that. So let's go. And that's pretty much what happened. I was like, well, let's fucking go. So we did.
It was a really good day yesterday.
It was a great day for the zoo. So he, his mum and myself, we all got into the car, went meow, and we drove to the place, and it was a ton of fun. He was fucking enamored the whole way. He was stupid excited. And then we got there and he's like, I want to see the giraffes and I want to see the zebras. I want to see the monkeys and the lions. So we did literally everything except the Australian animals. Because in early 2021, I think, somewhere in 2021, we went to Healesville Sanctuary and he saw all these strange animals and didn't really have a whole lot of interest in them. So I was like, well, fuck them. They're boring. So we went and saw all the cool ones. He was absolutely bewildered by the giraffes. One of them came up to like near the fence where he was standing to eat some grass and he was like, ah. It was amazing. He had a really, really good time. It was exactly what I wanted. What I wanted for him was to have just an unmeasurably good time. And I, knowing my son and his level of excitedness, very similar to mine, you know, he's just like, you've got him in the right place, give him the right energy, and he will erupt. And he did. It was great. It was 100% the right choice. And then to even better, we went to the gift shop on the way out. I was like, let's get him something to remember this boy. Because I had like this toy monkey.
Was it a t-shirt that said, I went to the zoo and all I got was this crappy shirt?
No, it was, there's a monkey that he spotted that he had. And I'm like, well, I had a monkey growing up that I got from the zoo, I think. And I had it for years and years and years. So I was like, well, let's do the same. So we got him a little monkey. But then he's like, oh, I don't want the monkey anymore. I want this fucking huge spider. And it's this big red back spider plush toy. I'm like,
You're like, son, I've got one in my... You got one in your cupboard.
Oh, dude, go into the shed. There's a metric ton of those pricks in the shed. But no, he was adamant. He wanted the spider, and I got him the monkey anyway, because I was like, well, once again, the sentimental of the monkey is there. And he did not stop playing with that goddamn spider when we got back to Geelong, and he hasn't put it down since, from what I've heard and what I've seen. Like, around me, he's just loving it. All I'm hearing is just spider noises. And then he proceeded to throw it at me and had to bite me and kill me. And then I got to be... revived by the monkey. And then, and then the spider got me again. And then repeat, repeat, repeat. It was perfect. I had a really, really good day yesterday. I'm very happy. And it appears that he's in the same boat. What have you got a thinking face on for?
Oh, no, it's a lovely story.
No, it was really...
I want to see the monkey's credentials. I want to see where he got his fucking doctorate.
Well, he revived me, so, like, allegedly, he's a good doctor, I suppose. I don't know what his medical degree is or what
the Redbacks. Or the Redbacks shit. I don't know.
One of the two. Yeah, it's a really shitty Redback, because last I heard, Redbacks can fuck you up pretty hard, and this one didn't, so... But yeah, other than that, the week has been pretty much the same, just standard work and stuff. But look, people come here to hear what we've been up to, because, you know, that is part of the show. We don't hide the fact that we talk about us and the things that we love and things that we enjoy and our families. But one thing we do here is, look, it's to not surprise anyone, is we talk about the games we played. Now, Max, I'm just going to go straight to you, because I know exactly...
Well, my list is pretty short. I've played one game.
That's what I'm saying. I know your list is super small. So you didn't just, might I add, play Elden Ring this week. You finished Elden Ring this week.
Yeah.
So you did what all the reviewers apparently couldn't do.
I probably didn't do as much as they did. I'll caveat it a bit. So... My final gameplay time was about 45 hours.
Yeah.
I was sitting at about a little soul level 125-ish, around that mark. Mm-hmm. I got one of the hidden endings. I didn't do the plain ending. I got one of the hidden endings, which was unlocked by doing a certain NPC's questline. So that was cool. And then idiot me went, I'm going to go for the platinum. And then the other idiot in me went, I'm going to start New Game Plus instead of save scumming my file. I should have uploaded the save, done the ending, re-downloaded the save, done the other ending, and then I would have gotten two trophies for the price of one. But I've almost finished it a second time. I'm now at 52 hours of gameplay on that same character. The character is now level 200 and something. I've got a really nice farming spot that I net about 5 million souls every, like, half hour with relative ease. It's literally rest at bonfire, turn around, hit L2, rest at bonfire, and I've gained 80,000 runes. It's it's pretty good.
That's insane.
So I'm just working through collecting all the sorceries, collecting all the incantations, collecting all the legendary weapons. The hardest one's probably going to be getting all the endings, because they all come with their own individual story, like quest progression that you kind of have to do. But the way the game is set out, it doesn't tell you that explicitly. It doesn't give you the waypoint of this is where you've got to go next. You have to intuit that from what the NPCs are telling you at the time and so on and so forth. And sometimes you have to speak to the same NPC multiple times to see their whole dialogue tree before they actually give you the information that you need. So that's been fun. I've been watching a few speed runs of the game. It's now down to sub 40 minutes. Apparently you can beat the entire game and roll credits in under 40 minutes.
Now, is that using glitches and stuff?
It's using one single glitch called a wrong warp. Basically, you do this thing where you start the game, you activate one specific site of grace, and then you teleport to an area, which at the time is an end game area, but it locks you into one platform. Like, it's designed to put you on that one platform to gain one item, and then you leave the area. You can't ever explore anywhere else. And what you do is, you from that area, you you use the fast travel system to go back to that one side of Grace you've activated, and as soon as you're in the loading screen, you quit the game, and then the game tries to find you a spawn point, and it spawns you in the end game area where you can actually explore the area, and then they just kill the final boss.
Okay, so you can't do this on a fresh save. You have to have...
Yeah, no, you can do it on a fresh save.
How can you access the grace without touching it?
You run. You never activate any of the grace points. You don't...
Okay.
You just activate the one that you need and that's it.
Okay.
So you have to get there without dying. Otherwise, you're back to the start of the game.
Okay.
And the site of grace that you need to hit is a fair way into the game. So you have to navigate... And do a lot of getting to the high level areas to get there.
But what about all the bosses dying? That like bottleneck you?
Doesn't matter. You don't need them.
Okay.
The first boss that everyone thought was a bottleneck, you can just bypass anyway. There's a road around the castle. You can just fuck off and come back and do it later. It's crazy. And they use there's a weapon at the start of the game that has like a really OP weapon art that just chunks the health of the bosses. Because apparently they're all weak to this type of damage and four hits and they die. It's crazy.
That's insane.
Yeah.
It's actually insane.
What took me 45 hours takes them 45 minutes. It's kind of depressing.
It is. It kind of like...
Well, in saying that, I really enjoyed my time with the game. The end boss was kind of meh. But other than that, the game was fun. I think it's my favorite in the series.
Well, I imagine, as it is the most highly regarded of the lot, it would make absolute sense. So it's interesting, because like I've tried to dive into it a couple of times over the week, and I'm having... not the same response.
It's a game that's definitely not for everyone.
No,
and like all From Software games have always been like that. Everything has to be for everyone.
No, not at all. And like this is not me shitting on it like I was. I think kind of shut on it a little bit last week, but like I've tried to get in there and I've given it a go, and it's like I think look, the actual answer is I cannot play it at the end of the day.
Yeah,
it is a game that requires full Riddle and Ryan.
Mm.
Because if I'm at the end of my day and my brain is scattered, it's not the game for me. I can't play it. Now, thankfully, I played a little bit today when I still had some meds working in me, and it was okay. I was able to be a bit patient. I was able to sort of, you know, see things as they were coming, and I wasn't just being bombarded like in the way that I had. No, don't get me wrong. Like, I just got really fucked off at this one cave. Because I went in there and there was like 17 wolves. And I was like, fuck. And like, I had to go get my runes again. But it wasn't really that many runes. So I kind of just went fuck it and gave up. But like, at the end of all the wolves was this boss thing. I was like, what the fuck is this thing? And it goes, whoop-boo, and just punched me in the dick. And I died. And I was like, ah, fuck this noise. So then I wandered off. And then I found some little ruin thingy. And I slowly lured out some dudes and shanked them. And I felt like I did nothing. I achieved nothing. And then I found a grace, whatever the fuck, pillar of grace of the cold, and I poked it. And the only reason, and like, this is the thing, up until this point, I hadn't sat at any of them because I know it respawns all your enemies.
Correct.
I was like, I don't want to fucking respawn the enemies. It took me so long to get them as it is. I ain't doing it again. But then I had no health potion, so I had to. So I sat. Boop. And then I got this, like, oh, hey, here's your horse. I'm like, The game actively tells you to not sit at the things because it will respawn enemies, but that doesn't give you something fucking awesome until you do. This game's dumb. And you're hitting about like 8,000, 10 million or whatever the fucking runes. I had like 400. Actually, I had like 1,000, like 1,200 or something. And then I was like, I'm going to cash it in. 800 coin. I'm like, what? How am I ever going to do anything in this game?
Man, I died with like 1.5 million on me the other night. I'm just like, whatever.
The game is not built for my brain. You know, like, I am neurodiverse, but it takes a different level of neurodiversity to want to fucking give a shit about this game. I'm sorry to learn about your neurodiversity, Max. It just happened. But, like, it's insane. I cannot... I understand why people love it, but it does not elicit the same response in me. And I don't even have that sense of reward because I feel like I bust my ass and nothing happens. And even if I've taken out a boss, what should feel like an incredible achievement feels fucking useless because I walk out that hallway and some little cunt just kicks me and I'm out.
Yeah.
Like, I know the noise gate just cut out your laughing and I appreciate you giggling at my demise, but it is one of those things. Like, I'm like, oh, I did something cool. I'm like, fuck you. I'm like, oh, this game's a ball bang. Look, I have like, I have enough things in my life to remind me of my sense of failure.
You're like, I have enough things in my life kicking me in the dick.
I have enough things kicking me in the dick. I'm already very aware of my sense of failure. I don't need a game that then reiterates that point to me. Like, yeah, I'm very aware of shitty achievements that I can do that result in me just getting kicked in the groin harder. So, not happening. It's just not one of those games for me. And, like, Bloodborne I enjoyed, at least from an aesthetic value. I don't know why. The open worldness of this game seems great. And I'm just going to say, like, you know, a lot of this answer would... A lot of everything, all my complaints end in, get good, or fucking play a different game then. And I am. I'm just expressing my disinterest. And... In the same way that, Max, you talk about the open world and you love the idea of complete free exploration.
Yeah. It's one of the best things in that game.
See,
and like I said the first time I spoke about it, I spent the first 10 hours just riding around and exploring. I didn't kill anything. It didn't matter if I died. I had nothing to lose. I just... wanted to be and explore in that world.
See, it's odd. Like, to me, I look at that as a vast ocean and I'm drowning in it. And it makes me anxious. The fact that I don't know where to go and I don't know what to do and I don't know what's everywhere makes me incredibly anxious to play it. And the idea of I can just wander over there, I'm like, I don't want to wander over there. And also, then combine that with a game that punches you in the crutch all the time. There's a very different conversation. If it didn't have the level of kick my face in, but the level of exploration, then I'm totally fucking in. The idea of being able to freely explore and take in this world, but then to have the looming threat of being punched in the arsehole constantly, kind of doesn't mesh with me. Either give me one or the other, or somewhere in the middle. But if it was just freely explore, but at least in this front area, not everything's going to destroy you. I'm like, okay, cool. But that's not how these games work at all.
No.
You know, but because even, once again, I'll talk about it shortly, is Horizon Forbidden West. Now, having two open worlds games at the same time, two on very different ends of the spectrum. One is absolute freedom. One is essentially Ubisoft level of open world exploration with, you know, towers and things on your map and waypoints and, like...
Push R3 to see what you can and can't climb.
Bang on. Press R3, you can scan the world, right? Two very different ends of the spectrum. I'm having so much more fun with Horizon Forbidden West. Not because I can press R3, because even though I have those things available to me, and like, hey, the marker, it's over there, I still explore the world. Because I always, I I'll just wander off into a corner of the world and look around. Like, what's over here? What's over there? Or, you know, is there something cool over here? I'm not even consulting the map all the time. But having like that anchor point, I guess, be like, hey, the main quest is over there if you want it. And once again, you know the creatures that are coming up at you. You know how to work with them. You have the right weaponry or whatever, because there was a little bit of a tutorial area that gave you a good run. And, you know, I guess I know how to play Horizon better than I know how to play Dark Souls, which is Elden Ring, which is totally true. So the idea of having even if I'm like, this is the direction you need to go, I find the story incredibly compelling, which is making me want to move forward. The story of Elden Ring is a bunch of wank. And I'm going to... Even the introductory video, where it's like, you know, Ernest the Wise and Dingbot the fuckerer. You know what I mean? Like, It sounded like a voice that Trey Parker has done an episode of South Park once.
Yeah.
And the idea of having, George R.R. Martin, it didn't help. That motherfucker's...
I think I said it last week on the show. If I didn't know that he worked on this game, apart from like the 50 million fucking dragons in this game, I wouldn't pick it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be like, oh, this is influenced by him.
I wouldn't pick it because there's no fucking story to tell you. Like, it doesn't tell you. You got to go find the story. I'm not here to do your fucking job. Tell me the story. I'm not going to read a book where I have to go hunt down the pages. Like, oh, look in the book, in this giant book, find the pages. I'm like, no, fuck you. Tell me the story.
No, it's a fucking Goosebumps choose your own adventure. Don't be a bitch.
Yeah, but without the first couple pages. It's just like, I don't know, open a page 11, I guess. Is this the first page? I don't know. You have to decide. Like, fuck you. That's not how this works. It's, you know... I understand the choose your own adventure part, but it's missing the first pages that get the adventure going. It's like, here's a book. Like,
it has an opening cutscene. Calm down.
Yeah, but it's like a prologue. It's fucking vague and stupid. And look, don't get me wrong. Like, where I'm at in Horizon Forbidden West, still playing it. It's fucking fantastic. The story is bat shit. Like, I've hit a turn where I thought it was fucking weird. It's gotten weirder. And I love it. So, like, I'm actually getting, like, some of, you know, the subordinate functions. It means nothing if you're not up to it yet. I've got, like, one. I'm heading off to the second one, and I find out that there's more, and there's just all these different things, and you meet this individual, and you're like, holy fuck, who the hell are you? And then she proceeds to give you a bunch of information that you go, what the fuck? So, you remember how last week I talked about how this, like, bah, moment that I had?
Yeah.
This moment goes, everything you thought about that bah moment is wrong because of this bah moment. You know what I mean? It's like, what the fuck? So, it's just layering, it's like... You know, you are in, like, you're learning as you go, which is really fun. And having the companions with you is great. Because I look at Zero Dawn, and aside from like two characters, there's no characters that progress the story with you. You know, like you come back, like you find, like, say, the Nora matriarchs, you see him at the start, you come back later, you see him again. But up until that point, you don't really see him. What are you fucking chuckling about?
Someone's sending me some hilarious memes.
Yeah, so like even them, like you don't really spend enough time with them to really sort of engage in character growth. Like even like Rost. Rost is really only the first area sort of companion.
Mm.
But here, like you are genuinely spending so much time with these individuals. Because like, it's at some point you create a home base, and as that home base grows, more companions come to join you, and then you go off on adventures by yourself primarily, but then they'll come with you for some, and you get to see more of them, understand more of them. Because as I talked about last week, I'm pretty sure the big common thread in this game is the sense of community and the way that you can't do everything by yourself.
Which is a nice reflection on the first game where it was you were this outcast and, you know, it was you against the world.
Yeah.
Type thing.
In terms of that
dichotomy, I'm looking forward to going back. Yeah. Obviously, Elden Ring kind of consumed me once it came out. So it'll be nice to step away from that for a little bit and jump back into Horizon, because I think I got to a point where it just started opening up and getting to where it was going.
Yeah, because once it opens up and goes, here's your subordinates or whatever, go hunt down these things. That's when the key story starts spilling in.
Yeah.
So an example, like this was in the trailers was getting to San Francisco, but I'm in Las Vegas now. Because look, jokes, anyone that knows, spoilers any for anyone that's fucking Zero Dawn set in America. It's early.
It was Earth all along.
Yeah, it was Earth all along. That's pretty much the answer. But it kind of knew this from the first game, so no surprise. But yeah, so I've got to Las Vegas. Las Vegas is, you know, like lost in, like it's a desert city anyway, but now it's super lost in the desert. Like in terms of this, you know, global warming has clearly fucked up this place in general, let alone everything else. It's fucked up like machines and shit. I love the world, man. The world is so interesting. Now, granted, not while using Elden Ring as a comparison, I've only seen Lindgrove because I can't seem to get out of it. All the regions here I love. I love finding the characters, like the tribes, and chatting to people because they're all so beautifully animated and they're just given expression.
You know, like, you know, granted, Aloy really only has like three expressions. It's talk with tilted head, raise arms with tilted head. Like, so what I thought was originally a lot of, you know, expression in the cut seems to be really low for her. But what I'm seeing in the likes of Varl and Erend, oh my God, Erend is my guy. What I love about him is this big, burly dude. You may remember him from the first game, Max, or you would have seen him a little bit in this one. Like, you know, he's a big, burly dude, and he acts strong, and he's all like, yeah, but he is a giant softy on the inside, and you can tell, and he just cares. I love him. I think he's fantastic, and he's the one that I care the most about in terms of if I go and talk to him and learn about him and what, and now that he has a focus, like, how's he seeing the world, and he's fantastic. He's absolutely fantastic. But yeah, no, I'm slowly progressing the world further and further. I've got like another couple tall necks done, and it's just getting.
Have you changed your? Because I think we discussed this a couple of weeks ago. I mentioned that I didn't find, like, obviously, you know, again, taken with a grain of salt because I'm not too far into the game, that I wasn't finding the story as compelling as what Zero Dawn was. Are you finding that to still be the case, or now that it's moved on and you've kind of passed that plateau point that we were at? Would you say it's on par with Zero Dawn, or do you still think Zero Dawn's story was better purely because it was the set up for this fantastic story as opposed to the what could be the finale to the story?
So that's the answer. You are absolutely bang on. So what makes Zero Dawn better in terms of a storytelling so far is that everything was unknown. So you are just constantly being fed all this cool new shit. And you're like, oh man, look at that. Oh cool, look at that. And then as you come to learn about, you know, that this is X amount of years in the future and this is what happened and this is why this tribe evolved this way and this is why this tribe evolved that way. And you know, as you start discovering the robot world and the old world, you're like, oh, this is fucking cool. And we're here, that's the baseline.
Yeah.
So what the novelty I'm finding of the story so far is A, heading west and seeing all the regions of the world of America that people are commonplace with, like California and stuff like that, right? So you're getting to see real world scenarios in this near future, and then can mix it with the new tribes, mix it with the, you know, the new boss, the new villain, and then the new villains as well, because there's a whole spectrum of them, and a lot of the unknown is based solely in this one side group, I guess, which are involved in the main story but not involved in you can see them being either feeding into the third game, because it does feel like a middle. So you feel either they're going to feed into the third game because you have an idea of who the main villain is in this one. Like, you look at Regala, you know, it's the name of the Clicks edition. Like, what do you expect? There it is. You know, early on you find out that Regala is someone that you should be keeping an eye out for. So I think they're the big boss of this game, but the things they're setting up here are likely going to throw it into the third. And then that'll be they're your big bads, right? Mm-hmm. Could be totally wrong. I don't know how the game's going to end. I'm not even close to it yet. But yeah, so far, as much as I'm enjoying the new, the compelling, all these changes compared to the first game's story, I believe, is greater because of its newness. Does that make sense?
It's originality. Yeah.
Originality, that's the word I wanted. Yeah, originality.
That's right, I got you.
Thank you. But yeah, look, I'm still loving Forbidden West, and yeah. It's great. But I can't shut up. I've got more games to play. So I played GT7 this week as well, like a lot. Like, I cleared the first license. Took a while. You know, when I was getting all shitty at it last week, I fucking got there. So I received a tip from a friend of the show, Travis. He's the gentleman that we'll chat to hopefully in the coming weeks about GT7. Because he goes, hey, drop down these assists in your settings and it will shave off a couple tenths of a second. I'm like, tenths of a second? Get the fuck out of here. No, it turns out it's totally really important. Because it's hard to imagine if it's like, you know, you're doing this run in 17.10 seconds. Like, that's the goal you need. And like, I keep getting 17.138. I need 17.121. Like there was one time where it was like a hundredth of a second that I missed out on getting the gold for. Like 0.00 number. I was like, get fucked this game. But I got there. and got there in the end. It was
good. What did you turn off? Like auto steering, auto braking?
I was just back stability. It was essentially stability control. Like I brought it down from strongest to weak, and it just allowed the back end of the car to sort of sit out a little bit. So then as you take corners, you can kind of just push it a little bit harder. So it was a small change that delivered a really good result, which I liked. I haven't done any more of the music rally. I've done more of the campaign of the game. Is that, you know, the idea you go to the cafe and it's like, go do these three races and collect these three cars, go do this tournament, whatever, whatever. I'm about halfway, I think, because I think there's like 20 of them. I'm about 9, 10. They're fine. They're just chipping away. One of the things this game is being criticized for at the moment is its microtransactions. Now, I haven't dived into them yet, but I can certainly see I am getting to a point where I can understand in the choke point is like, unless you start grinding a bunch of races, you're not going to have enough coin. Because in order to qualify for this level of race, you need certain PP, which is performance points. And in order to get performance points, you need a particular car, and then you need to upgrade it accordingly, right? That's how you get to the required PP. But you know, as you start, you grab a car and you start throwing money at it, you realize, oh man, these upgrades are costing me. And suddenly it's dribbling down. Like, don't get me wrong, you can still get like thousands and tens of thousands of dollars from a race. So it's not too gnarly to like just do a couple races and you can probably clear it out.
Our base is repeatable. Can you just do the same one? Like, yeah. If you get good at a race, can you just farm that race?
It appears so. Now, I'm not going back and doing them as of yet. I've been able to survive up until this point without having to repeat races. Like, because I do my best. I will run the same race until I get first. And once it's first, I'm moving on. Because my plan for this game is to do the campaign and then bounce. Because I'm not going to farm it so I can get this McLaren whatever car. You know, it's not for me. I'm like, I'm going to get a Bugatti. No, I don't care. I'm just going to finish the campaign and enjoy my time. And like, I've been able to sit down, listen to podcasts, and just chill and drive, and then just run. Because I'm invested in the game, but I'm having the auditory stimulation from the podcast. I'm just like, yeah, cool. And so if I have to run the same race 6 times to get first, I don't give a shit. I'm listening to a podcast. It's fine. If I had to listen to a car revving for like 6 different runs, I'd die. But this is not too bad.
Yeah, for sure.
It's more racing. It's a lot. But the last game that I'll talk about, Max, because I haven't seemed to shut up apparently, WWE 2K22 came out this week. So thank you to the team over at 2K Australia for providing me the review code for this one. So we received the NWO 4 Life Edition. So we got about a couple days early access, which was great. The game, I've dicked about not too hard. I streamed it on here on the Twitch. It's been a little while since I've done some game streaming, so that was fun. I was playing the My Rise, which is the altered career mode. So you sort of make your own character. I made big nasty bets in as I do, and I was going on my career from the Performance Center through to the main roster, ideally. So I streamed it for about 3 hours, which was a ton of fun. I spent most of that time just making my character, which I really enjoyed, because unlike previous iterations, especially when you go into the campaign mode, it limits what hair, what clothes, what entrance, you're very restricted at the beginning of the career mode, and you have to sort of earn stuff as you go. Here they went, nah, here's the full suite. Create exactly the person you want to make, and then take them on their journey. I was like, sick. That is a massive improvement. First of all, and then of course, with that, you know, the game looks better, which is great. So in terms of creating your character, I feel that I'm creating a better looking person than I ever did in 2K20. I don't remember 2K19 because it was years ago, so I couldn't tell you. But so that I've really, really enjoyed. The career mode itself is okay. It's voice acted. It's animated pretty well. Lip sync is a bit shit. Some characters look better than others, but its core is interesting.
So is it basically like you're a new up and comer and you're like just working your way through like all the other
Yeah, it is literally like every other sports campaign ever. Like you go in, you go into the WWE Performance Center as you can pick your upbringing. So you've come from the indie scene, you are an ex-athlete, you're a fighter, like all these different things, or you're from some other Hollywood or whatever. Right? You come in and then the campaign adjusts to how you came in. I picked an indie dude just because the terms of characters that I like come from the indie scene. Pardon me. And then I built my character, and then you can. So you, there are some sort of kind of narrative trees like it. It's very, very simple. Then you work your way in the Performance Center, and then you'll move up to either NXT, SmackDown, or Raw, depending on where you want to go. Now NXT in terms of WWE's design has always been developmental. You come from the Performance Center to NXT to the main roster, which is SmackDown and Raw. Over the last couple of years, NXT has been sort of rebranded as to kind of be one of the three pillars, right? So I think you can kind of go to whichever one you want to, or would they make you an NXT and then up? They used to make you an NXT and up, but I'm not sure because I haven't hit that point in this game yet. So it is very similar. Like you go and you work, you whatever, and you learn, and yeah, et cetera, et cetera. There has been some improvements to the game in terms of its controls. Now, initially, coming off the back of playing 2K20, it did throw me a lot. Because I'm like, oh, hang on, I'm going to have to relearn how to play this game a little bit. Just in something as simple as reversals. Reversals used to be, you would just build them up, press R2, next thing you know, you're popping reversals, right? So anytime someone goes at you, you can just bang, 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 and you'll never really win. Matches seem to go forever. If you do it well. But here, like the reversals, they are timing based still, but they're a little bit extra than that. So you can reverse a move, but then respond with a hit, which adds a little extra. And you kind of have to guess whether the other player or the computer is using a heavy or a light attack or a grab, and you have to try counter with the exact same thing. So there's a little bit of just trying to read the models, which is interesting. It feels simplified in a lot of ways compared to at least the previous years on the early touches that I've had with it. But it's going to take a little bit of time for me to get used to it. And I will go back to it, just going to the zoo and wanting to play GT and Horizon. I was like, I'll come back to the rest of them. But no, it's very good. Like, I'm enjoying it so far. No one's phased through the ground for me yet, which is awesome. Because having played 2K20, when I powerbombed someone, they just went through the ring and kept going. So to not have the level of glitches and mistakes and challenges from 2K20, big old win for me. And I'm enjoying it. It looks fantastic compared to previous games as well. I've got to dive into the GM mode. I'll dive into the showcase mode all in time. But at least my initial impressions are very, very positive for the game. Now, you're interested in checking this out, I know.
Yeah. The wrestling games have always been... I've found them to be more fun than watching actual wrestling.
Fair.
There is a certain joy to know, you know, I remember playing the old school wrestling games on like N64. Mm-hmm. And they've always been fun. And yeah, obviously the last entrance of the series was definitely weak, to put it nicely. Yeah. And with it now being under a new team, I'd love to see what they've done.
Yeah. So for context, for those who don't know, so during production of 2K20, the team that was working on it was a team called Yuke's. And Yuke's have been doing the wrestling games for years, for a very, very long time. They then went nut and just straight up essentially quit and left the development of 2K, WWE 2K, which then the only way, like 2K really should have delayed the title and gone, it's not coming out this year. But instead, they passed it on to a team called Visual Concepts, which are best known for their work within the 2K, NBA 2K franchise. So they were given substantially less time. Granted, they already are an annualized release. Yuke's bounced about midway through production. Visual Concepts had to come in and try completely build it from scratch to get it to ready to go. And as a result, it's the butts. But Visual Concepts have now had a year and a half minimum to work on this game, and they've clearly used that time wisely. Like, don't get me wrong, Visual Concepts are good. Because they you see it in the NBA games. So to them actually given the time they need to be able to deliver the game that they should be able to do, and we're seeing the fruits of those labors here. Even something as simple as the menus here are better. It's insane. Side note though, it is very funny to see a lot of wrestlers in this game that no longer work for the company, because during the production of this game, the WWE released them. So that's great. They all got fired in the interim. Like the Iconics are still in there. Cesaro's still in there. Samoa Joe's still in there. There's a bunch that have all been let go. Like, rad. So the game itself, already obsolete. Well done. Well done, WWE.
Nothing that a quick patch can't fix.
Yeah, there's suddenly all these characters become unavailable. But they don't have enough because the roster is so barren these days. Like, it's just, it would be silly to do so. But yeah, look, I'm going to check it out some more. Play with it some more. It's been a ton of fun. But anyways, before we get into the news, Max, there's something that we got to talk about. Now, I believe, I'm not even sure whether this still works for us anymore, but over the last couple of weeks, we have been supported by the Manscaped. I'm wearing this shirt right now. Very similar to yourself, Max. I went out and about on the town wearing my Manscaped shirt today. No one looked at me and went, "You got shaved balls." No one did that to me, sadly. I didn't have the same experience that you had last week where I was having people, like, you know, suss me out.
You
over
made
court.
The mistake of not having your nutsack out like me.
Ah, so it was the shirt and the ball bag. That checks out. That checks out. And then, like, you know, people look at that ball bag, Max, and they go, "Man, you can tell that has been handled by the Lawnmower 4.0, one of the best precision tools for your front area." It's still behind me. Yeah, there it is on the shelf there with all the crop. Maybe they could smell the crop cleanser from a distance. Because look, speaking of smells, sorry, I'm going with this. So for the last week, Max, the last couple of days at least, I have been smelling like balls, and it has been fantastic. So over the last week and a half, Manscaped have upgraded their range of products to include what they've titled formulations. So this is two in one shampoo, body wash, the crop cleanser, which is like just a groin wash, as well as this like soft spray, right? And deodorant, to name a few. I picked these up because I was like, fuck it, why not? I've been smelling fucking fantastic. Now, as no expert on shampoos or body washes, I can't tell you if it's even doing its job properly. I feel clean. I smell clean. Am I actually clean? I don't know, Max. I have to take the bottle's word for it. It says it's clean. It says it's a shampoo. I have to believe it. It says it's deodorant. Is it? I hope so. Now, one thing I can say, though, the deodorant is not antiperspirant. Because as the deodorant itself is vegan, it's vegan friendly, it's paraben free, it's all the good things. Turns out the shit that makes deodorant really, like, in terms of antiperspirant, that's just bad. It's bad for the environment, probably bad for your body too. But at least I know.
Some people would argue that BO is also bad for the environment.
Look, is it, don't get me wrong, for the last like 4 days, I've transitioned to this new deodorant.
Gone from being antiperspirant to perspirant? Is that when you're...
Potentially, but look...
You're pro-perspirant now?
This is one of the things. Like, as one of my hang-ups of being an ex-fat dude, right? I'm still a fat dude, but I'm not as fat as I was. One of my biggest hang-ups is I've never wanted to be a smelly fat guy. I've never wanted to be that, ever. So, like, for me, I'm very conscious about how I smell. So to have these products that, like, you know, I'm like, oh, this is not an antiperspirant deodorant, just a deodorant. Like, will this do the job? I've been smelling fantastic. I've been I'll wander around, I'll pick something up, I'll get a little waft to myself, and I go, oh, I smell good. Because it's using this refined fragrance blend that they have access to. It's refined trademark, by the way. And I keep getting wafts of it, and I go, you know, I smell pretty good. Because, like, it's weird because you should be conditioned to know your own smell, but then these new smells come in and I go, yeah, very nice. Absolutely love it. How's your Manscaped been this week, Max?
I'm still thoroughly scaped from my first foray into it about 3 weeks ago. Apparently, the rest of my hair doesn't grow as fast as the hair on my head or face. But that's all right. I'm okay with that.
It is. Yes. Look, it's a good thing to know. Like, you don't use it every day, but it's there when you need it.
The spritz on the balls is nice.
Yeah. Pss, pss, yeah. A little bit of a toner, you know? It's very, very good stuff. But look, now there was a timed campaign that we had with Manscaped, so we don't know whether the code will even work. But if you want, go to au.manscaped.com. If you enter the code FTP, it may or may not give you 20% off and free worldwide shipping. That's au.manscaped.com, promo code FTP, 20% off and free worldwide shipping. You too could smell like balls. All right, Max, let's get into the section we call Inform the Players. We tell you about what happened this week in PlayStation.
Well, let's kick things off with the biggest news in PlayStation. Let's talk State of Play.
Yeah, this one came out of the fucking blue. It was like, it was like Wednesday. Yeah, like, oh, there's a State of Play tomorrow.
Yeah, Sony announced it on Wednesday and it happened Thursday. Good thing no one was busy.
So one of the big things about this one, Max, is they were like, hey, preface, no hardware, no PSVR2. We're essentially going to focus on our Japanese development partners and a little bit of first party. So like the framework was there for me to go, I'm probably going to hate it. And Max goes, ooh, my nips are hard.
I have watched maybe two or three of the trailers that...
Oh, okay. Showed. I watched like near on all of it, so...
So, because it happened right when I go to sleep, and then I just never got around to watching it all. So, what we saw was, I don't think these are in order. These were
I can tell you they are not in order.
So, first up, Stranger of Paradise, the Final Fantasy Origins. There was a new gameplay trailer shown, and I believe a demo went live shortly after the show with the gimmick of progress from the demo will carry on once the game is fully launched.
Yeah, so this is the one that you had a bit of a hard on for, it's Team Ninja last week, side note, I talked about Team Ninja as the studio that's owned by Microsoft. Not even wrong, it was Ninja Theory. Too many ninja teams, I got confused.
Too many ninja teams.
As I said it out loud, I went, that's not the right answer. And then in the comments on the YouTube video, last week, someone goes, Team Ninja, that's not the right answer. I'm like, I fucking know, I know, I said it out loud. And I went, fuck, idiot. But yeah, so Team Ninja, the team that made Neo, and they're handling Final Fantasy, which we know, as you know, gives you a chub.
Big old Final Fantasy nerd.
So like a Soulsborne-esque Final Fantasy, this should be in your wheelhouse.
Yeah, so I played the first two demos that have come out. For the most part, I enjoyed my time with it. You know, like you said, it's that mixture of Soulsborne with the Final Fantasy IP. I believe it comes out later this week.
Yeah, something memory. Like that, yeah. And so,
so it's really soon, so it makes sense for it to be here.
And another demo, day and date. Woo!
It's cool that they're dropping another demo for people to check it out. Yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah, it'd be pretty cool. Well, we'll have to wait and see what you got to say. Because I said, having it be two things that I know that gets your heart going. So, well, we'll check that out.
Next up, we have Trek to Yomi, which was this weird, black and white samurai-esque game, if I'm not mistaken. I'm like, wow, that's really similar to Sifu, but with swords.
Yeah, I did see that. I was like,
And slightly more on a 2D plane. It's looking at a spring 2022 launch window. So
yeah,
that's
it's like Sifu of Tsushima, you know, it's a bit weird.
Mm. Oh. We've got some Tsushima news coming out. That's, jeez. Forspoken got shown off. So after the recent announcement of the game being delayed by 5 months, they showed off a new gameplay trailer with the new October 11th release date.
None of this game is interesting me. Like, it's really
It looks so good. How was it not interesting you? You suck.
It's just not landing for me. It really isn't.
Nah, you've got
The game intrigued me when I first saw it, where they had that big fucking angel wing eye looking thing. I was like, that's cool. And then it's done nothing for me since.
Next up, we had Returnal Ascension. So Returnal will be getting a new survival mode and a cooperative mode in an upcoming free update on March 22nd.
Now, what this means
is how Betson gets credits.
Bang on. This is how you help me out. I'll have to reinstall and go, carry me, Max. And then between you and I, like, we get there in the end and you bring me across the line. And then I can, I won't die happy. I'll be like, yeah, I've done that. Sick. And like, I am shameless. I will take that assisted win, and I will count that as a win. I don't even care. And they've got like, they've got the Tower of Sisyphus, I believe it was called. And the idea is that, yeah, you are sent, like, you will die. There isn't like, there's 20 levels of this horde mode. Like, no, it'll go until you fucking die. So there's no end to it. It's pretty exciting. And in true Housemarque fashion, it has a scoreboard. It has leaderboards. It's really bringing back that arcade-ness that Housemarque is best known for.
Next up, we had the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Cowabunga Collection. So this is just exactly that, a collection of the old beat-em-ups coming later this year.
So these are all the Konami games primarily. With the licensing of TMNT going over Nickelodeon, it looks as if there's been a bit of discussions about bringing this back. And there's like a stack of games. It's like the Super Nintendo ones, the Game Boy ones, the arcade ones, like all the Ninja Turtle games from the past that you've probably enjoyed. We've all probably played at some point. It's pretty kind of gnarly, especially when Konami have gone sort of quiet. And the last couple of things they have done are collections.
Like there was NFTs.
So like they're going down an interesting path. You know, we've got like the Castlevania collection from a couple of years ago. You know, there's the Mega Man ones were a little bit before that. You know, it's just okay, cool. All right, you've got the TMT collection. Cool. So you're happy to pull from your world. Like, does that mean it's a Metal Gear Solid collection? Okay, no. Look, I'm going to say that TMNT is likely less important than Silent Hill and or Metal Gear. That's cool. So I can only presume you guys not doing anything with those two properties means you have bigger plans. Yeah, fingers crossed, I hope.
Or they're not that broke yet that they need
to. Yeah, that's the last minute. That's when they need it.
They just needed a little bit of money, not a ton of money.
Yeah, checks out.
Next up, we had JoJo's Bizarre Adventure All-Star Battle R, which is just a straight up remastered version of the PlayStation 3 fighter coming out later this year.
Look, I know a lot of people that really enjoy the show. And I believe, is this the one where they have like characters named after bands?
I have no idea. I have never watched the show.
Oh, okay. I was hoping to rely on you, Max, with your weebness, but that's cool.
Fuck you. Speaking of weebness, we have the Dio Field Chronicle, a teaser trailer with a little bit of gameplay for the new Squaresoft tactical game, which will release later this year.
Is this the one that kind of looked like Octopath?
Yeah, I think it's from the Triangle Strategy dudes.
Is that the same team that did Octopath?
I think so. Yeah, it looks like an old school pixel esque graphic tactical fighter RPG. Looks cool. Exo Primal is Capcom's take on a sci-fi Dino Crisis coming 2023.
What the fuck was this? So like, I saw Capcom and I went, aight. And then I saw dinos and I was like, aight. And then I saw a hole in the sky and about 1,000 velociraptors fall out of it. I was like, the fuck is this game? And then it's like, all right, so it's clearly it's Anthem with different exosuits punching dinosaurs. I'm like, is this how they've butchered Dino Crisis? And then in the end, it's like Exo Primal. I'm like, well, thankfully they haven't killed Dino Crisis, but they hinted it enough to hurt you. It's gonna fucking crumble. It's not gonna do well.
Next up, we had Valkyrie Elysium, which is an action role-playing game. It's a sequel to the PlayStation 1's Valkyrie Profile coming later this year. There's a blast from the past.
Yeah, only 22 years in the making or something.
Mm.
Jeez, good.
I like the first game. I'll play this.
Okay, cool. There you go.
Next up, we had Gigabash, and the only way I could describe this was it's a kaiju brawler coming later this year.
Sure.
Ghostwire Tokyo, obviously, with its release this month,
we got a pre-launch trailer. Not even.
And then lastly, there was this bizarre Gundam Evolution first-person shooter multiplayer team-based thing. I don't even know what it was. It's like Overwatch Gundam.
Yeah, like it's weird. It's
Call of Gundam.
I like that. Well done.
I don't know.
I don't get Gundams. I understand them. I like building them because they're cool model kits.
You build one like a couple of months ago.
There's one over there that I just built. Like literally, then I built one like even just before that. I got another one that I haven't built yet. Like I enjoy building them. Damn, that's the best part of it. I don't fucking get them. Like in terms of like I haven't seen Evangelion or whatever, or so you know, it just doesn't. Okay, cool. Gundams, sweet. So a game they're about being Gundams. Yeah. Not for me. Now, Max, because news is kind of light this week, I'm going to jump into this next one. There's a problem with PlayStation. It's about Sony's upgrade system specifically. So despite Ghost of Tsushima Legends now being a standalone version of the game's multiplayer mode, the PS Store classifies it as part of Ghost of Tsushima Director's Cut. Therefore, if you claim Legends with your PS Plus subscription, then, later decide to upgrade to the main game from PS4 to PS5, you'll be blocked from the upgrade path. Bam, bam, bam. Sony will, unsurprisingly, still let you buy Ghost of Tsushima Director's Cut for full price on the PS5, but you'll not be eligible for that sweet discounted fee. The only solution is to contact Sony's customer support and get the PS Plus version you claimed refunded so that you can then go ahead and purchase the PS4 and PS5 upgrade. Yes, it is in fact a complete mess, but it's not the first time an issue like this has taken place. Now, Max, this is bang the fuck on. This is the problem with this cross-generational nonsense. Sony should have made the fucking... Like, their business model very clearly was to have a complete transition to the next generation. And we're seeing the problems with that right now.
I mean, granted, it was hard to have a direct crossover when they didn't have the units to support a direct crossover.
Yeah, pandemic caused that problem, not them.
Like, you know, things had to be changed, but... It can't be that hard for a standalone. Like, why is the standalone game a part of the director's cut to begin with?
Because it shouldn't be there. Yeah, what I see a lot with Sony, especially on their back end, is one hand doesn't know how to talk to the other. And I think this is an exact situation of that. They're like, cool.
Yeah, one hand's going in for a fist bump, the other one's trying to shake hands.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, so you're in the middle going, I don't know what to do with my hands. And look, the upgrade stuff is still fucking stupid. I get it, but it's still stupid. Should I think every upgrade should be free? No, you entitled fucks. Calm down. But like, if they're going to do that, they should have a better system in place. So Sony's, you know, requesting for upgrade pass, totally valid. Are they handling it correctly? Fuck no, they're not. They're making an absolute mess out of it.
I know this is a PlayStation podcast, but it really makes smart delivery on Xbox look really good.
Dude, it really, really does.
Like, it really does.
Yeah, it really does. I said, all it demonstrates is Sony's original intention around this generation was not to do this. And it showed, and like, because as you said, why is it so hard? Because it's not as simple as flicking a switch. There are so many back paths and channels that had not been correctly considered when they had to make the call to allow for cross-generational upgrades. Because we, you know, they talked about it, like they were going to do it for like two games and that was it. And then they continued to like offer it in other ways. And then maybe they were like, fuck, we have, because a bunch of things were likely delayed because of said pandemic, they were like, well, what can we put as a free game? I don't know. We need something big. It's been a while since we've done a first party. Ghost of Tsushima Legends, man. People love that shit. Let's make that a PS Plus extra. Ooh, have you considered about all these problems? Like, they probably didn't realize until after they'd made the call.
Yeah, most likely. Well, this is an interesting news topic. We kind of been not talking about it for the better part of the last two episodes.
Yep.
But Sony have made a big statement this week, so I think now is probably a good time to talk about it. PlayStation has suspended all ongoing operations in Russia following the country's invasion of Ukraine. In a statement posted on social media, Sony has stated, quote, "It is joining the global community calling for peace in Ukraine." Fans noticed last week that Gran Turismo 7, the latest title published by PlayStation, had been removed from sale in Russia. The manufacturer has acknowledged this, stating that sales of the simulation racer have been suspended, as have all, quote, "software and hardware shipments." and operations of the PlayStation Store. While those who own PlayStation 5s and PS4s will still be able to connect to the network and play their games, this is a very strong statement coming from Sony. Sony has also pledged $2 million donation to the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees and Save the Children to, quote, support the victims of this tragedy.
So, look, part of the reason that we haven't discussed it on this show is, at least for me, I don't feel the need to have to tell you all what I think about war, because I'd like to think you guys know that I'm fucking against that shit. Like, the mistreatment of people, like, that just makes sense. Who the fuck supports that shit? So the reason Max and I haven't gone, hey, we're pro-Ukraine, is because, A, what would it do? We, like, in terms of, like, we in our, like, this is very cynical of me, very pessimistic of me, I guess. You and I sitting here on this show talking about our stance about this current invasion of Ukraine wouldn't change anything. It's the equivalent of me changing my profile picture on Facebook. I would like to think, if you know me, if you know us, you know our stance. We don't have to show to the world where we sit. And up until this point, it hadn't really affected the content that we've made. Now, I don't mean to speak on behalf of you there, Max.
No. You pretty much summed it up.
Yeah, so I don't. Yeah, we don't need to sit here.
I did about putting it in the news today, but with this being a Sony-focused show, this is fairly big news, and I felt it worthwhile putting in.
Yeah, and so what Sony are essentially doing is they are doing what near on most all companies are doing. Like, everyone are no longer shipping their stuff to Russia or providing their services to Russia as a country. And at least from where I sit, like, it is a tough thing, because it's hurting the people. It's not hurting Putin, who is the sole person responsible for this invasion. He's not going to be bummed that he can't play GT7, but it hurts the people on the ground. However, I understand the reasoning, because if they sell it there in the country, the Russian economy gets a cut of it from the taxes. So nip that in the bud.
Yeah.
And, like, I do fear that this decision could affect the populace in a positive or a negative way. Like, maybe it puts the pressure on the Russian government to, you know, like, hey, we can't get all, like, we're getting directly affected by this. Or it has them double down and go, fuck the West, man. You know, because, like, what we're seeing on the streets right now in Russia is people protesting and fighting against this invasion. And this is a country that you just go fucking missing. And there are people who are willing to do this. So, like, it's a very interesting and tough situation and circumstance. And do I believe this is going to solve it? No. It's much bigger than that. It's much more complicated than that. And it's fucking scary. But I don't know. Like, I see it, especially the donation of the dollars, $2 million, fucking way better than pulling shit from shelves. That is what companies should be doing. And, like, shit, if I had any money to spare, I would be sending some money over there too, but I don't. So in terms of, I'm trying to keep my fucking self alive, you know? So it's very interesting, but yeah. What's your thoughts on this before we transition?
I think you summed it up well. I don't think we need to talk about it too much.
Yeah. It's,
Everyone knows what's going on. They don't need to hear that kind of news from us.
Yeah, and they don't need to hear two other fucking middle-class white dudes talk about other comics, even though for 5 minutes. It's essentially that. Like, they've heard enough of random fucking white dude opinions. All right, so here's something that at least I'm excited about, Max. God of War. Amazon Prime Video is on the cusp, allegedly, of signing a live-action television adaptation of God of War, according to a report from Deadline. PlayStation Productions, the new movie and TV subsidiary of Sony's gaming division, has been busy lately bringing Uncharted to the big screen and also working on The Last of Us with HBO and the Twisted Metal adaptation, which we talked about last week, coming to Peacock. And it looks like God of War is next in line.
It's the dumbest name for a...
What's your, yeah, it's NBC. Because their logo is a peacock.
Yeah, I get it. It's still dumb.
Deadline says that the Amazon Prime Video is in negotiations for the series, which will be helmed by the Escape's Mark Fergus and Hawk Ottsby and executive producer Ralph Judkins from Wheel of Time. Fucking hell, Ryan. Sony Pictures Television will also be involved, while Amazon Studios will likely co-produce, assuming the deal goes through. Fergus and Ospie, the pair toted to be in charge of this live-action God of War adaptation, earned an Oscar nomination for Children of Men and also co-wrote the script for Iron Man, so that it is a safe pair of hands. It is unclear whether the TV show will depict Kratos' assault on Greek or Norse mythology, but we're going to assume that the latter, with God of War Ragnarok right around the corner. Now, I'm going to talk about this into my gushing. Max, this is your time to shine. What do you think of this?
I am so skeptical about video game adaptations into either movie or TV. I think TV works better.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really hard to translate a interactive medium into a non-interactive medium. I don't think it works well. We have plenty of evidence to support that. Now, granted, they are getting better. You know, you look at the success of Sonic the Hedgehog movie, which, you know, after the internet went nuts at the original Sonic design, for the most part, the movie was pretty good. But you've got some real bad ones. Like, you know, you look back at the original Mortal Kombat movies. You look back at Van Damme's Street Fighter. You look, you know, obviously we've got... you know, jumping property ships here. We've got the Halo series coming out this month.
Oh my God, is it this month?
Yeah.
I'll check it out.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, you know, there's so much. And, you know, obviously, you know, Sony just had a massive hit with Uncharted going to the big screen. We'll have to wait to see what The Last of Us provides with that longer form storytelling of an episodic TV series versus the two-hour... fit as much as you can into a movie. But, you know, a lot of these games are tell such a fantastic story over the course of your gameplay that I feel that most of the time they're given short shrift in movies where they're essentially scrunched together to fit in to that time frame. Now, if I have the choice of movie versus TV, I'd prefer a TV series of God of War. But
that's what we're getting by the looks. That's
cool. And then you've got the whole, you know, but who's going to play who?
Hmm.
We're going to have that, you know, that difference of the voice actors that we know and love portraying those characters for a real life actor who's not going to be their voice actor.
Yeah.
Because I can't imagine Christopher Judge rocking up being like, I am Kratos now.
He's got the build for it. He's a bit older now, but he's got the build.
And, you know, it also, you know, are they going to do the origins of Kratos and they're going to cover the Greek stuff, or are they going to cover the newer stuff? Will it roll, like, you know, if they're still in deals, it's obviously not going to be like a pretense into Ragnarok. It may be something after that. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, if at all.
Okay, so
it's pessimistic, but
it is well documented. My love,
video game movies are shit.
Yeah, it's well documented. The video game movies are shit, but it is also well documented. My love for God of War 2018 and God of War in general. I love that franchise. I believe it is, especially 2018, has potential for exceptional transfer into another medium.
Yeah.
So where I'm looking at here. I think Sony are on the right path looking at this. So Uncharted, although not a complete adaption of the game, nor should it have been, was pretty good. The Last of Us is going to HBO. HBO are pretty reliable. They're pretty good. And I think they'll handle it just fine.
Until the final season, and then they'll fuck
yeah.
It
until
up.
The final season or whatever, and then it's you know, Joel will turn heel and just start burning down an entire town. Twisted Metal, I think, has the luxury of no one remembering what it is, so they can do whatever they want with it. Plus, it's got the writers of Deadpool and stuff in it, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
They have to do the Norse mythology here. And what I see them doing is I see them doing essential flashbacks to the Greek stuff. Because in terms of, if you, even though you look back at the Greek god of war, like first one is fine. Second, like the all the key story beats is three. But though, is in number three. Now, don't get me wrong. We learn about his daughter and his family and all these different things that help make him the person that he is for 2018 soft reboot. But those first three, so the two PS2 games, the PS3, two PS3 ones, and the two PSP games are all super gameplay focused. Like it's that Devil May Cry esque, just go and slash the fuck out of things. There's not a lot of story there to pull from, or at least it's transferable into a TV show. 2018 is. It's full of character. It's full of like great storytelling. So what I see them doing is essentially then having flashbacks to a lot of the, to any of the key parts that bring up the Greek mythology. Now, even in 2018's God of War, it is very alluded to about his past. And I think that you can tell a very similar story and then just have flashbacks and references, and then though they can assist the thing. So if you had never played God of War before, and then you play 2018, you get enough information to understand the past without having to play it. And I think they can do that here as well.
Well, I can testify to that because I have not played any of the early God of War games.
Yeah, I played everyone but Ascension.
2018 was my first God of War title.
Yeah, and you can pick up what they're putting down, right? And you are spot on. One of the biggest challenges that they're going to face is to find an actor that can give Kratos his due.
Who's your dream casting? Who would you pick for Kratos, for Atreus, and for Baldur?
See, this is
assuming they're doing the Norse stuff. See, this obviously is, we've got Josh Saunders as Kratos.
So this is interesting. So it wasn't until I was listening to Sacred Symbols this weekend, Colin Moriarty's PlayStation podcast, and he brought up a point that I went, holy shit, I've never thought about that either. He said the sentence to me. Kratos is a black actor. He's always had African American history, quote unquote, because both voice actors, Christopher Judge and the gentleman that did it for the original games, were both black men. So a lot of that comes across in his performance, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I look at this and I go, well, that's a very, very good point, because I haven't considered it, but now that it's been put out in front of me, I go, yeah, that's pretty fucking accurate. I can't argue that. And like, in terms of not my, like my own perception kind of went, yeah, okay, yeah, no, I feel that. So does that mean we get an African-American individual and then we paint them a grayish color of the like ashes of his family? But even then, like, Kratos is such an interestingly shaped human. Like, he's a god. So like,
yeah.
Some of my first thoughts were, like, in terms of people that look the part, WWE's Triple H, Paul Levesque, he's got the beard, he's got the bald, he's jacked. He's not very tall, though. It's probably the only catch. He can't act for shit, so that's a downside. Because, like, if you're casting the Greek Kratos, is very different to casting the Kratos from the Norse mythology. You know, I think Jason Momoa got thrown out there. You know, maybe, you know, especially off the back of like Khal Drogo, from Game of Thrones. Someone said Tom Holland is Kratos. I'm like, that checks out. There seems to be a thread. Maybe Kratos.
Kevin Hart.
Yeah. Maybe
it's a comedy now.
Yeah. Get Owen Hart in there. Make it The Rock as Kratos and Atreus as Kevin Hart. But they've done a bunch of buddy cop movies.
Okay, it's like a buddy cop movie.
Yeah. Like that'd be a great look. No, but in terms of who would it be, I don't know. The difficulty that we're going to have, it has to be someone relatively unknown, because in order to get Kratos across, you need them to be someone that you don't know. And the level of depth at which Christopher Judge has been able to bring to Kratos in 2018's God of War, like this, it's the subtleties that will bring this character across the line. In the eyes, in the movement, in the delivery of the vocal delivery. And then don't get me wrong, whatever this anime, this series has to be, it's gonna have to be fucking violent. Because God of War is violent. A big part of what makes his character is his violence. And that, because all into 2018, it is all about him wanting to be no longer be that past, and the past coming back to haunt him. And his past is violent. Yeah. But in terms of casting Boulder, I don't know. I kind of like his Weasley, like crack looking aesthetic. I don't know.
I'm picturing. I know. This is like a terrible, but I pictured for like this. The first thing that popped into my head was Brad Pitt in Snatch as like the pikey boxer.
Yeah. That works.
Wouldn't work now.
Yeah, because you kind of need this like weedy looking dude. Like he kind of has a mullet, you know, in the gross looking beards or the weird, you know, tat. Like he does have a lot of what looks like, you know, junky street tattoos and stuff. You know, there's a bunch of things to consider here. And do I think this would be an exceptional TV? I think it has the potential to be amazing TV. But how they do it is what makes a difference. But I'm excited nonetheless.
Quick bits. Ryan, the future game show is back. 24th of March with over 40 games, with 8 being world premieres.
World premiere.
Gotham Knights is coming on the 25th of the 10th, 2022.
Woo! That means at least one of my games in my draft is happening this year. Thank you, Gotham Knights. You fucked
for
me
now.
Last year.
And now. It may still get delayed.
You
for
fucked
now.
Me last year, but it looks like it may pay off for me this year.
Square Enix has opened a YouTube music channel for Final Fantasy, Nier, and some of their other titles.
Yeah, the music's pretty sweet. Makes sense.
A Roblox job listing hints that it may finally be coming to PlayStation consoles.
Okay.
Dead Space Remake is looking at an early 2023 release window.
You fuck me, EA! I had good news about Gotham Knights, and I'm pretty sure Dead Space Remake's on my list of games. So I got lifted up and then brought right back down.
I forgot to add it in, but rumor has it Sly Cooper is making a return.
And so is Infamous, apparently.
Yeah, that is the rumor, but the Sly Cooper one, I believe Pixel Opus has been mentioned to be attached to it.
Well, let's discuss that for a little moment.
According to a source, yeah.
Let's discuss that for a minute. So, are you a Sly Cooper player from back in the day?
I have never played Sly
Me
Cooper.
Me either. And like, so I look at this and I'm like, oh, cool. And I understand the
I played the Xbox Blinks the Time Cat thing. Mm. That's what I played. That was mine.
Yeah, it's just... When I was playing back in the days, like my PlayStations, it just didn't cross my path. I was a lot poorer back then too. So a game that didn't really jump at me, I didn't have the luxury of playing. But I looked at it and like here I go, okay, cool. Pixel Opus, great choice. And I mean that not in a sort of like a derogatory way, because like they are essentially getting the leftovers.
Mm.
I loved Concrete Genie. Concrete Genie was fantastic. But... It didn't do as well as it could have. Pixel Opus need a project that they can put their creative spin on. And I love their little sort of AAA indie vibe, because they essentially make indie games, but for PlayStation. And the two games that they work on, which was that and Entwined, I believe, did not move the scales as much as it should have. So in terms of to earn, we've given you two artsy projects. Like most movie studios, we've given you an artsy project. Now work on this sort of blockbuster. Then you can do your artsy project again. Now, Pixel Opus is a team of like 25 people or something. So they really hope they scale up. Either they're remaking the game or they're, you know, in terms of, you know, remaking it or bringing it up. Because like on the back of the Medieval remake, which was done by... what was that team called? Wasn't Pixel Opus. Very similar name. But they were external. It was a second party dev.
Yeah, it was Other Ocean.
Other Ocean, thank you. You know, so they're essentially pulling another Ocean. Remake Sly, I guess. Infamous coming back, totally cool. I think it'd be cool as long as they bring back Cole. Because Delson was cool, but like I don't think... Dalsing it was going to do so well, And I think, you know, having Troy Baker voice, I heard this week as well, and I did, and it made me chuckle, because like having Troy Baker come back as a Native American character, a little bit rough. This day and age, that wouldn't fly, pun intended, because everyone flies in that game. But Infamous is a good franchise, and I think it deserves to come back. But Max, the most important quick bit that I noticed you failed to fucking put in there, by the way. There has been a classification for Story of Seasons.
Do you want to know why it didn't get put in? Because you fucking sent it to me after I sent you the doc, so fuck off.
Max, you should have correctly taken in all the news because you missed out the most. Yeah. Story of Seasons, Pioneers of Olivetown, has received classification. Forget where, which tells
in Australia,
that a PS4 version is coming on the back of last year with Friends of Mineral Town. This is the new one, and it ran like asshole on Switch. So give me Pioneers of Olivetown on PS4, because like that game had some hard choke points on the Switch. Put it on PS4, it'll look good. The draw distance will be fine. The pop-in will be non-existent, ideally. Give me it. Give me. Y'all know my love for Story of Seasons. Make it happen. And of course, Sony did not bring up the top 10 best-selling PlayStation games this week, because according to Max, they don't want to show Elden Ring in top position where it belongs.
Apparently the NPD numbers are huge for Elden Ring. It's like outside of everything.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing. Yeah, and on PC, yeah. Like across the board, it's doing fucking gangbusters.
Yeah. All right, upcoming titles. We have Phantom Breaker Omnia coming to PlayStation 4 March 15th. GTA 5 PS5 coming out March 15th.
I pre-ordered it. It's like $15. I was like,
yeah, why not? That price only lasts for like a month.
That's why I did it. Otherwise, it goes back to $60. I'm like, I'll pay $15 for it.
Yeah, for sure. Persona 4 Arena Ultimax PS4 March 17th. Who Pressed Mute on Uncle Marcus PS4 PS5 March 18th. And Stranger of Paradise Final Fantasy Origin PS4 PS5 March 18th. That is this week.
Yeah, there you go, Max. Obviously, the one for you is the Final Fantasy because you're a giant fucking dork.
I'm kind of keen to check out GTA 5.
Me too. The only downside, I don't have enough fucking hard drive space on my PS5.
I know that feeling.
Do I have it open here? Do I have it open? I do. So I pulled up EB Games. Right.
Don't buy one from EB Games.
No, I just wanted to have a look. I was like, let me see what price I'm looking at here.
They're like twice as expensive on EB Games. Don't buy one
Seagate
from EB Games.
FireCuda 530 with heatsink, 4 terabytes, $1,599.
Yeah, they're about $1,200 if you buy it from a PC.
So. That's still a little bit fucked. So, like, I put 4 terabytes into my PS4 Pro.
For $20.
$200.
Yeah.
I understand SSD is fancy pants tech, but you can fuck right off. That is insane.
Yeah.
So how big is the one in your
I've got a 1 terabyte, so I doubled my data essentially.
Yeah, and you're buying a newie?
I'm thinking about it. I will
happily purchase your 1 terabyte off you because I won't. I don't think I'll need any. I don't swap through games as much as yourself or have the persistent games that you do.
I think it's just the fact that Destiny's 150 gig.
Yeah.
All the games I play are massive.
GTA 7's 109.
Yeah.
So like that's what like games supposed to be getting smaller and they're not. So
I mean, they are smaller than their. They are 100% smaller than their PS4 counterparts. But they're still fucking huge.
Yeah, all I need is I just need to double it. So, like, you may need to get a 2 terabyte or whatever. But for me, give me 1 terabyte and I'm probably okay. So if you are on the hunt, I can subsidize your purchase.
I'll let you know.
Anyways, we've been going long today. Let's wrap this bastard up.
All right, everybody. This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to join us in future conversations, come and check out our socials. Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and Twitter, all of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join us as the conversation happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopcultures, where you can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can. Tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation Pod. If you are listening to our podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you are watching us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. If you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopcultures, as well as our merchandise store, popcultures.com/shop, where you can buy shirts and other assorted shit with our logos on it. And maybe, potentially, if you head over to au.manscaped.com, use the promo code FTP, save yourself 20% off and get free worldwide shipping. I cannot verify if that code works or it doesn't work. I believe our campaign has ended. So for anyone that has jumped on and supported us over the last month, big thank you. It means the world that if people are helping, if people choose to help us. So because look, one of the things, like when it's like Manscaped or MeUndies or fucking, you know, all Omaha Steaks or whatever the hell brands that you always see on pods, you kind of think that everyone that's ever been interested has likely picked it up. That's why they're hitting up smaller creators like us. But at least a handful of people that were happy to pick it up for the first time. And we thank you. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was For the Players.